A story about a storied athlete today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Now Kinnick's name is on the Iowa football stadium and a new book by Mark Wilson, who joins us next on Scribble. I take it you are a Niall Kinnick fan.
I was born and raised in Iowa City, so I've lived in that community for 72 years, and you kind of grow up being a Hawkeye, and all the adventures that I've had as a youngster, just Iowa City and the campus just being my playground. So
I can't decide whether that's a great honor or a great affliction. But
yeah, my wife has a T-shirt, incidentally, Mark, that on the front is the Illini logo, which is beautiful and ornate and absolutely organized. And it says, "This is your brain." On the back is the Hawkeye logo, that Hawk, "This is your brain on drugs." Any questions?
Well, there's quite
just
a rivalry.
Just thought I'd throw that in before we turn completely.
Well, I'm in Rock Island, Illinois, and I have no regrets being here with you two gentlemen.
Well, we're harmless. You know, neither one of us has sped to glory on the gridiron, so you don't have to worry about that. We are spectators, pure and simple.
You know, until I looked at your book, which is just out, I take it, I knew the name Kinnick because there's a Kinnick Stadium over at Iowa City, but that's about all I knew. I don't even think I knew his name or why it was named Niall Kinnick. But I must say, looking through your book, for somebody who's not a football fan, not necessarily an Iowa City fan at all, the way you have put this book together is perfect for my kind of reader, right?
How and why?
Well, it all started, I think, when I was a 17-year-old freshman at the State University of Iowa. I pledged a fraternity, and my pledge brother was Bill Green Jr., and it was Parents' Day, and he wanted to introduce me to his father. And he said, "Mark, this is my dad, who played with Niall Kinnick in that famous 1939 season when they were predicted to come in last again, like they were almost every year during the 30s. And who's Kinnick? And, you know, but I was a youngster, 17 years old, but I think that's as far back as I can remember when I was introduced to the name. And then time passed, and I, you know, got my elementary education degree in 1969. My wife was also an elementary education teacher. And then we started our first year of teaching in 1970. And wouldn't you know it, I got drafted. I did serve in the U.S. Army during Vietnam. But when I was discharged, it was 1972. And that was the year that Iowa Stadium was renamed Kinnick Stadium. And again, arousing my curiosity, the man, and, you know, but, and then I had a long, long teaching career in Iowa City working with disadvantaged children who were at risk of reading in a couple schools in Iowa City. I was the only male teacher to ever do that, but I think I played a big part in their lives by teaching them strategies that would help them avoid being tracked into a learning disability program. They were very young, first graders mostly. But during that time, it was a challenge. And like Kinnick, my quote that I wanted to find out, what did Niall Kinnick say in his military journal the day before he was killed in an emergency landing? He avoided the USS Lexington aircraft carrier because that was the pilots, they were training to take off and land, and there were many, many planes on the on the deck and lots of soldiers, but he could not land and did not want to land because he knew there could be chaos on the deck. So he really sacrificed his life to land in the waters off of the coast of Venezuela. But again, I wanted to know, what did he say the day before that tragic event in 1943 on June 2nd? But on June 1st, the last five words that he actually wrote were, "People must come before prophets." And I thought about the book. Why don't I... And I didn't think about it when I first started, but I did carry around with me during my last years of teaching what he said just before those five words. He said, "Oh, how I wish I could sing and play the piano. The axiom, if it's worth doing well at all, has its limitations. Stay on the ball most of all, but learn to coast between moments of all-out effort." And I had to do that, and I know Niall had to do that. He worked so intensely at what he did, both on the field and off the field, in the classroom. He was class president his senior year. He was Phi Beta Kappa. He was a natural leader, and I think he had to do that many, many times. He had to coast between moments of all effort by going to movies. He loved to dance. And going to plays and musicals and seeing people perform. And I think I identified with him because of that quote. In the classroom, it's intense. There's always children that you need to attend to, especially when they're not on grade level in reading. And I had to take that deep breath and coast between moments of all-out effort, just like Niall, because he was an intense person. He was a man that wanted to always correct any weaknesses that he might have had by working hard. And keep in mind, he was only 5 feet, 8 inches tall and 170 pounds. And yet he won the Heisman Trophy that no one else has at Iowa. And he also broke 14 Iowa records his senior year. And again, like I said earlier, they were predicted to come in last, but then a new coach came on board and Niall Kinnick committed himself early, very early in 1939, February, March, in that area. He said, and if I had the quote here, I'd tell you, but I'll paraphrase it. He said, "I want to be the best left halfback at the University of Iowa this fall." And I don't know how he did it, but he had lots of techniques when it came to his agility and his strength and so on. But that quote got me started with this book, the one that I mentioned earlier. You know, stay on the ball most of the time, but learn to coast between moments of all-out effort. But I also kind of led me in the direction of, what else did he have to say during that time frame from 1936 to 1943, the time he was a student athlete, the year that he was in law school, and then his year and a half in the U.S. Navy Air Corps Reserve, wanting to be a fighter pilot and a commander. So I started my research in 2008. And I just started, there's magazines, newspapers, articles written. I went to every source I could find, special collections at the University of Iowa libraries, a book that a teacher gave me while I was teaching back in the 90s. And I cut out that quote that I mentioned earlier and kind of kept it in my billfold. And I have it in my billfold at this time. Right now. But I just wanted to go a little bit further. What else did he have to say about that period of life between 36 and 43? And he wrote about everything you can think of, mostly about life. He wrote about government, politics, war, poverty. They're just multiple.
Excuse me, Mark,
yes.
Was this in a diary or a journal?
Yes.
I mean, I'm astounded you... We'll talk a little bit in a little bit about how the book is organized, but you have uncovered a number of really great Niall Kinnick quotes, and I You know, I look back at the journals I decided to keep when I was told in philosophy class, you better keep a journal, you know, and by the third day, it's today is Tuesday, right? there are no thoughts like Niles Kinnick had, I could tell you that.
Yeah, that's that is amazing. You did all this.
So it's 10 years it's been, right?
Yes.
Was it your intention from the beginning to write a book?
No. I wanted to have a flip calendar, but my wife told me, no, Mark, I don't think anybody has a flip calendar on their desktop. And and then I just changed my whole direction and thought I would just write a book on his memorable insights, his memorable quotes from his diaries, his journals, his speeches, his essays, and especially his letters to his family that they saved all these years and then donated all this collection to the special collections at the University of Iowa Libraries. But that's what I researched. I was down at the library and just reading. There are not many books out there about Niall Kinnick. There's a couple biographies, two historical fiction books, but not much said. And my whole goal was to preserve his legacy in writing this book, but also to donate my royalties back to the Center for Advancement, formerly the University of Iowa Foundation, to help fund the 6 scholarships in his name. There's one for leadership, there's 4 memorial scholarships, and then there's 1 scholarship for women. So as the years progress, I didn't do this every day. I had to learn to kind of coast between moments of all-out effort, come back to it, then inspired again. But I finally finished this in 2016, and wouldn't you know it, I was diagnosed with cancer, a terminal cancer, incurable cancer, and I had to go through 4 months of chemo. It's not one that can be cured. It's a very, very rare cancer. And then I thought, how am I going to get through this? I want to finish this book. I want to give back to the University of Iowa something that they gave me, an education and, well, meeting my wife on campus. I mean, those are 2 pretty important things, and having a very successful career as a male elementary education teacher. There weren't too many of them back then. So I thought about, well, I'm going to do this. And I go a week on chemo, then I'm off again. And I followed that pattern for 4 months. But I wanted to complete this research and this compilation of all these wonderful quotes that Niall had to say about life and the time, the topics and issues of his time, which are very relevant today. I could thumb through this book. My daughter said, Dad, you could put this on the coffee table and it'll never collect dust, because you could open and flip this book that like I'm doing right now, and I could stop right there and read something, and it'll be very relevant to today's period of time and the topics.
That this very morning. I hang out and do my own reading and writing in the room where they read for the blind, the local papers and stuff. So there are always about 4 to 6 people sitting around getting ready to read or having just finished reading. And I just put this book out and they started looking at the quotes, and then somebody else would look at the quotes. So I think the way you've organized this book is it's getting exactly the results that you want to get. Could you read us a couple of samples of what Niles wrote?
Sure.
And how did you, you have these organized 1 through 366,
yes,
like starting with January 1st and ending with December 31st, but those, are those actual dates in which he?
No.
No,
I did some of them, like on Flag Day. I wanted to write what he wrote on Flag Day and some of them, but most of them are just picked at random, and I wanted one for every day of the year, plus leap year, which is coming up in 2020. So that's why I stuck with the 366, because somebody will have a birthday and maybe they'll, you know, want to pick this book up at the bookstore and just kind of, wow, this is what he had to say on February 29th, 2020. But like I said, I just opened that and you can witness that I don't have,
right.
I mean, I'm just flipping. This is my draft here. And on May 25th, this was the last letter that Niall wrote to his friend, Celia Pierce. And he wrote this about Iowa City. He loved Iowa City. He was in Adel, Iowa, born and raised in Adel, Iowa, and a great Iowan. But he said, "I'm so glad you could speak enthusiastically of your visit in Iowa City. That little town means so much to me. The scene of growth and development during vital years, joy and melancholy, struggle and triumph. It is almost like home. I love the people, the campus, the trees, everything about it. And it is beautiful in the spring. Ah, for those days of laughter and picnics when the grass was newly green."
Yeah, I had no idea he was an athlete who was also of a literary bent, that he wrote so much.
And prolific writer.
Yeah.
Documented almost everything. He very, very close with his parents, and sometimes those letters were unbelievable. I had one letter here. By the way, Jim Leach, our 30-year congressman, did the epilogue in this book and came on board immediately. And as you can see, Hayden Fry, Kirk Ferentz, Gary Dolphin, the voice of the Hawkeyes, Eddie Podolak, and Chuck Long, Heisman Trophy runner-up, and President Boyd. There are 10 pretty significant individuals that blessed me by endorsing this book. So I'm just humbled by this. But
before we forget, yes. where might someone get a copy of the book?
Okay. This book, Ice Cube Press, is my publisher's company out of North Liberty, Iowa. It's also, you can go to Amazon and just Google The Way of Niall Kinnick, or just Niall Kinnick. And it's in the Barnes & Noble stores, I know in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. And if you're in Iowa City, but Amazon, if you're not in Iowa City, and even on Barnes & Noble, you can Google The Way of Niall Kinnick, or just Niall Kinnick, or my name, Mark Wilson, and it'll pop up. And you can get it in any of the stores in Iowa City.
Is there any way it might be available to people going to a game?
I think many people that come to Iowa City, there's just thousands that travel to Iowa City for football games, but and they usually come in a day early or early right. in that day of the game, and usually are downtown Iowa City and Iowa Book and Prairie Lights and out in Coralville at the mall where they have the Black and Gold store and Barnes & Noble and so on. But it's just about any bookstore in Iowa City. But if you're not living in Iowa City, I would just go to my publisher's website, Ice Cube Press, or just Google it, and it's on Amazon.
Yeah, we've had Ice Cube Press authors on before. That is an interesting publishing firm that Steve Semkin runs out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
The book is organized overall sort of like a football game, right, with four quarters. And you preface all these sayings of Niall in each one by a little essay of your own.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that?
There's four people I really want to thank for encouraging me to complete this book, because I did go through a tough time. And when I finally, I met Steve Semkin along with David Dirks, who works with the University of Iowa Foundation or the Center for Advancement. He's been on board since day one. But when I first met with Steve Semkin of Ice Cube Press on July 11, 2017, I don't think he was too sure he wanted to publish a book of just insights from Niall. So he challenged me, and he said, "Mark, I want you to write four chapters on how you more or less connect with Niall Kinnick." Now, that okay, I said, I'm going to do it. I will do it. And the four chapters are, the first one is fascination, my fascination of Niall Kinnick. The second chapter was admiration. The third one was inspiration. And the last one was dedication. So we interspersed the quotes with these chapters. And it just kind of tells my story and how I connect with him, especially the admiration chapter when I was going through chemo treatments. How am I going to get done? And how am I going to complete this and have this ready to go? And that's when my quadrant of life was expressed. And Kinnick had the same quadrant of life. There's a spiritual fitness. He was a very religious man. There was a physical fitness, obviously very fit and kept himself strong. And I, in the same way, I try to keep my body in good shape. If I'm going to, you know, have a difficult time with this, I want to be strong going into it, and I've always done that. And then there's the mental fitness that he had that I had, you know, staying abreast of the times, what's going on, writing this book, editing it. And that was took a long time. And then there's the social fitness, having people around you like you two that support each other, that maybe pray for each other, or just having that positive attitude. And Niall seemed to be around people like that were very supportive of him. And you know, that's where my connection came in. And then I thought about these four fitnesses, and my daughter said, why don't you just call it a quadrant of life? It's a good philosophy to have when you're dealing with adversities. Like Niall, he separated his shoulder his senior year. He had a broken ankle his junior year, yet he went on. And he had cracked ribs and, you know, many, many different adversities he had to face, not only on the field, but in the classroom. He wanted to keep his grades up, and he moved out of the Phi Psi fraternity house because he was concerned about his grades. And but that's basically why those four chapters are interspersed with those 366 memorable quotes.
That's a very interesting approach and a very interesting book, and I think you're going to attract a lot of people, not just football fans.
No, as I said, I'm not a football fan, but I certainly became a fan of Kinnick, and you know, and I was curious about why the stadium, why it got to be named Kinnick. Was there any controversy over renaming it Kinnick Stadium?
At the beginning, the parents did not want the stadium renamed very early. It was renamed in 1972 from Iowa Stadium to Kinnick Stadium, but earlier he knew that there were many, many heroes during World War II, and why we want to name it Kinnick, he wasn't too in favor of that at that time. But over the years, I have a picture of Niall Kinnick Sr. with Bump Elliott, who was the athletic director at that time, in the stands. It's a black and white photo. And he finally said, yes, it's okay. Niall Kinnick Jr. was a man from, you know, from Iowa, Adel, Iowa. And he really, really set the standard of excellence for all of Iowans, and maybe beyond that, in my opinion, because he just was someone special.
Well, I must say you've accomplished a great deal in actually getting taking all this through adversity and sticking to it and producing a book that I think is going to be very popular.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We appreciate having you here today. We've been talking to Mark D. Wilson, who has written a book called The Way of Niall C. Kinnick. And I think it's one you'll find interesting, and we appreciate you being here, Mark.
Oh, thank you so much, Don.
I don't think I'll ever look at the Niall Kinnick Stadium in the same way again.
No, I mean, he's organized this in exactly the way for me, because I have no real interest in reading a full-fledged biography of Niall Kinnick. Mm-hmm. But it was really, I mean, it's just astounding to read some of the remarks that Kinnick was making. He was a student, you know, an undergraduate student when he made some of these at Iowa. And they are really things worth thinking about.
Yeah, it's I think we ought to get your thoughts down in some kind of order. Or is there any order to your thoughts?
Students have threatened to do that over the years, but not the ones that are inspiring.
Well, that's the thing. So many people over the years, students and others, have come up to me and said, "I'll never forget what you said." And then I said, "Well, what did I say?"
Yeah, right.
Some of them I'm not going to repeat. But well, we're in the book bag. We have a couple of minutes here. Anything to bring to our attention?
Well, I just came across a really interesting— I don't read as much nonfiction as you, but I am a sucker for nonfiction that talks about the art of writing.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And about the art of art. And I just asked, I don't know how I even came across this. It was out at Barnes & Noble's, I guess. Most of you are probably familiar with Madeline L'Engle's A Wrinkle in Time. And I had no idea that she wrote a book on writing called Walking on Water, Reflections on Faith and Art. This goes way back to 1980, but you can still find copies of it. And it begins when she's invited to Corfu, in the Mediterranean, do a workshop on Christian writing. And she is a little reluctant to do it because, as she says, usually a work that identifies itself as a Christian novel is neither a very good novel nor very Christian. Right? So she's even reluctant to talk about being a Christian writer. What does that mean? And this book is an exploration of that. There are some great quotes all the way through the book by famous artists. One that comes to mind is Leonard Bernstein, who said, "Music is cosmos out of chaos."
Hmm, that's interesting.
Isn't that?
Yeah, cosmos out of chaos.
Yeah, and she goes on to talk about whether that's discovered or invented, right?
Yeah.
She does believe that we are creators. We aren't just craftsperson. That creative writing really is creative writing. It is something new. It is bringing things together that normally don't bring together.
Does she talk more about inspirational things or techniques?
All inspirational techniques. Mm-hmm. One of the things she talks about is the decade in which nobody bought her books. Nobody, I mean, she couldn't sell them to publishers. Wrinkle in Time took a decade to get with a publisher. And then the publisher that published it said, "Well, we're not going to sell many copies. We can't make many." And then it won, won the, the Peabody Award. And it suddenly started selling millions of copies. And she was, but... or won the Newbery Medal, excuse me.
So the name of this book is?
Walking on Water, Reflections on Faith and Art.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for today. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. Thank you for being with us, and join us next week. And once again, we take up scribbling.